Psalm 46 and verse number 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It would do you well to memorize that verse. If not, at least to familiarize yourself with it to the point that you can draw from it, feed on it, and let it help you. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Let's pray. Father, we'd ask now that you'd help us for a few minutes as we look at this Word of God that you've laid before us, that you've inspired, that you have preserved. And Lord, help us to feed on it. Help us, dear Lord, to draw strength from it, and we'll give you thanks and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want you to notice the heading of this psalm. There's no way that we can look at all of the psalm. I mean, there's not just verse 1 that's loaded, but the whole psalm is loaded. In fact, you've probably heard people make reference to verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." Now, that's hard to do, isn't it? Be still and know that I am God. But verse 1 has caught my interest even as of Sunday, or Sunday night, really, and we didn't get to preach, and the Lord still wouldn't just leave me alone with this verse of Scripture. Verse number 1, God is our refuge. But notice, if you will, the heading of the psalm, "To the chief musician for the sons of Korah." Now, of all people on planet Earth, you'd not think that this psalm would be given to. And this is not the only psalm to the sons of Korah. There's several, but you think about who Korah was. Go back into number 16 and you find that Korah was that one that spoke out against the man of God and had a following with him. And how that the earth opened up and swallowed them alive right into the pit, but yet here is his sons. And so that tells me that evidently that some of his children didn't believe what he was saying and what he was doing, and they chose to go the right way, and thank God for that. But it's to the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. And then it goes right into the verse, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." We just want to look at that. There are several things you could probably title this verse. You could probably title it "Facing Life with God's Help." That'd be a good title. That's basically in jest what he's saying here. You could also title it "What to Do When Trouble Comes." You can use that as a title, "Confidence in Crisis." David is exposing a crisis here, no doubt, referring back to 2 Kings 18 and 19, where the Assyrians is coming against Jerusalem, and they were outnumbered and looked like a hopeless situation. And Hezekiah, who was king at that time, how that Hezekiah started out being a good king, and he got crossed up in Samaria's. But anyway, Hezekiah received a letter. A messenger delivered a letter to Hezekiah about the situation, and Hezekiah brought that letter to the temple and presented it, laid it out before the Lord. Just opened it up as if to say, "Lord, here's my case. Lord, here's my situation." And as Hezekiah presented his burden, he presented his battle, he presented his situation to the Lord, and how the Lord worked a miracle in that situation. And I was reading it again today, even in 2 Kings chapter 19. After he presented that to the Lord, on later on in the chapter, here's what the Lord said: "For I will defend the city to save it." Amen. "For mine own sake and for my servant David's sake." And then it goes right in, "And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. That's 185,000 Assyrian soldiers the Lord took care of in one night. The Lord can handle it. That'd be another good title you could put on this. The Lord can handle it. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? It looked impossible for Hezekiah. It looked like it was a hopeless case for Jerusalem. But they need not forget one very important thing. They have a God. Amen. Don't ever forget that. It may look bad and bleak and hopeless at times in your life, but don't forget one very important thing. That is, if you're saved, you have a God. You have a Heavenly Father, my friend, and He's never known a case that was too hard or too difficult. And one night the Lord set them free. One night the Lord took care of business. Amen. You title the psalm after that. The Lord can take care of business. Amen. A lot of different titles. But I think the very first two words is just about as good as you can get. God is. Amen. God is, and you can fill in the blank. Amen. God is, and you just put your trouble there. God is, and just put what you need. God is that. Amen. God is our refuge and strength. Very present help in the time of trouble. The next two verses, we'll read those. Therefore, will we not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. What about that? Amen? Amen. I like that. We'll look at that in just a moment. But back up in verse number 1. God. Always start out with that. Always start out with Him. Amen. The verse is ended with trouble. If we're not careful, we'll put the trouble in the front and God in the back. But always go through God to get to your trouble. Always look at your trouble through God. Amen. Start out with God. And when you hold God up at first, your trouble won't look near as big. But if you put trouble in the front and then try to look at God, then you've got a mess. Amen. And we've used the analogy or the illustration before. It doesn't take much to hide a mountain. You can take a little penny or a little dime, as small as it is, but if you let it get close enough to your eye, even though it's small and incomparable in size to a mountain or even to the sun, if you will, you let it get close enough, even that small thing will block out that bigness. And so it is with God. But I noticed that even as David started out, the psalmist, David, God. Speaking of our Creator. Just notice those three words. God, first of all, speaks of our Creator. God speaks of our Creator. The word God here, the name God, is Elohim. You know where that shows first? You know where that word Elohim shows up first in the Bible? Or the name God that has come from Elohim? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. Not in the beginning of God, but in the beginning, God. Amen? God was already in the beginning. God was before the beginning. God never had a beginning. And that same God is the one that David is magnifying to the sons of Korah here as to being the God that is our refuge. We're not talking about a wimp on our side. We're not talking about, some fly-by-night man-made creature. But we're talking about Elohim, the one that is self-existent, the one that is eternal, the one, my friend, that could take nothing and speak it all into existence and hold it together by the word of His power. He's the one. No wonder Paul drew strength from the statement in Romans 8, if God be for us, who could be against us? I mean, what competition does Elohim have? What competition, my friend, does the Creator God have? I mean, what player's going to come out on the field and score on him? I mean, what competition could he possibly have? He is the champion. David addressed him as the champion several times, and that simply means a champion has defeated all opponents. But he starts out with God, speaking of the Creator. And then God is, you add the word is on, the word is speaks of His consistency. Now I'm going to tell you, it'd be great. That first word God, Brother Brooks, is wonderful. But if you don't hook that second one up with it, then we're in trouble. If you don't put is with it, we're in trouble. If you put God was, we're in trouble. Amen. I'm talking about the word is speaks of consistency. God speaks of creator. Is speaks of consistent. Amen. Good verse to show that is in Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. God is. Amen. Boy, David liked that word is. He even used it in Psalms 23. The Lord is. The Lord is. No telling how many times that appears. God is. Shows His consistency. And I'm glad of that. Did you know if He wasn't consistent, you couldn't depend on Him? If he failed in the area of consistency and being the same, did you know you couldn't depend on Him? Oh, I'm glad He's dependable. I'm glad He's consistent, aren't you? And then I like this next word. I like this next word, our. Boy, isn't that good? God is our. And that is the word that speaks of, I use the word collective there beside that word. God is our. And Lord, I'm glad tonight that He's mine. I'm glad He's my God. Amen. I'm glad He's my refuge. I'm glad He's my strength. But oh, I'm glad it's collective too. You know, that ought to encourage us to know as we've seen God help others. We can say, well, you know what? He was theirs, and He's mine, and so He's ours. So what He's done for them, He can do for me. Amen. Don't look at someone else and put them on a pedestal and think they've got a special hookup with God that nobody else has. That's not so. God is our refuge. Amen. He's your refuge. He's the refuge of parents. He's the refuge of the children. He's the refuge of the preacher. He's the refuge of the people. He's our refuge. Boy, I'm glad of that. I'm glad of that. Well, I draw strength from that. I draw strength from that. Amen. And you know what I like about this thing about it today, Brother Darrell? God is our refuge in that He can be 100% my God and still be 100% your God at the same time. Amen. Just because He's 100% mine doesn't pull any away from you. Amen. Only God can do that. Only God can devote 100% of His attention to you and not be distracted from me. Amen. Only God can do that. God is our refuge. Amen. Don't ever forget it. God is on the side of His people. Amen. Sure, God is our refuge. Let's look at this. There's three things in this verse that is magnified that God is. There's three things, simple truth, but I believe it'll help us. It should encourage us. The first thing is, He shows us this, that He is our shelter. God is our shelter, and that is the word refuge. The word refuge. God is our refuge. The word refuge means shelter, hope, or trust. Oh yes, think about it if you couldn't trust God. Think about it. Well, it'd be bad, wouldn't it? But He's our shelter. And you think about a shelter or a refuge, and I appreciate the scripture that was referenced in Psalm 62. In fact, I have before me to read those verses. Isn't that amazing? Brother Craig reads a song that I was thinking about having sung, and then Miss Sarah reads the scripture that I was thinking about reading. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. My shelter is in God. Now, shelter won't mean much to you if you're not in a storm. I mean, if you're not in a storm, a shelter won't mean much. But I want to tell you, as believers, you won't go long in this life without a storm. Amen, I'm telling you. But it doesn't just deal with storms, and the weather, so to speak, but it also deals with warfare. Refuge, a place of protection. You remember the background in 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19 I made reference to? Remember when Hezekiah presented his letter before the Lord? What was it God said? I will defend you. I will defend you. Amen. Now what happens when there's a defender? If somebody's defending me, what's that mean? What does that say about their placement? That tells me they're between me and the enemy. A shelter is between me and what's trying to get it to me. Amen. Thank God He don't mind getting in between you and the trouble. He don't mind getting between you. Now what your trouble is and my trouble is when I allow my trouble to get between me and God. That's when I get in a heap and a mess and in trouble and my spiritual life gets cold and my joy goes down the tubes. It's when my joy or when my trouble gets in between me and God. And that can only happen is if I let it so. If I let it. Are you listening? But He's our shelter. He's our refuge. Our hope. He is our trust. Boy, there's a lot of passages of Scripture in the book of Psalms. A lot of Scripture that deals with God being our refuge. Psalm 61 and verse 3. For Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. That shows what the shelter's for. If you don't have an enemy, then you don't need a shelter. If you don't have an enemy, then you probably don't have any struggles, don't have any warfare, and therefore you don't need a shelter. But God knows that everybody is going to need a shelter. Everybody is going to have an enemy, and you do have. There's at least three you have. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen. That's right. So He's our shelter. And there's a lot we could say about that shelter, that refuge that stands between me and the enemy. Boy, that's good, isn't it? Instead of me having to fight it, God can fight it. Boy, that's good. Amen. But He is our shelter. He is our shelter. And that's magnified in these verses. And there's several more. Let me read another verse or two if I could. I can't say anything better than what God's already said. Psalms chapter number 71 and verse number 7. Psalm 71 verse number 7. I am as a wonder unto many, but Thou art my strong refuge. Thou art my strong refuge. Psalm 73 and verse number 28. The Bible says, But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all Thy works. I believe I wrote down the wrong verse on that one. Let's see. Amen. But that was still a good verse, though, wasn't it? Amen. Amen. That's right. But look at Psalms 91. Psalms 91. You can't read the wrong verse in the Bible, can you? That's right, it's all good. Psalms 91, look at Psalms 91. Verse 1, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress and my God. In Him will I trust. Verse number 9, because Thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, Thy habitation. Well, like that, Psalms 94, verse number 22, the Bible says, but the Lord is my defense. That's where that shelter is between you and the enemy. I will defend you, God said. Here's what the Bible says, Psalms 94, 22. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. Psalms 142 and verse number 5. 142 and verse 5. Amen. 142 and verse 5. I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. And there's several more. I mean, there's a lot of passages, especially in Psalms, that deals with God being a refuge. And that, like I said, don't mean nothing to you unless you're in a storm, unless you have an enemy, unless there's a fight, unless there's a battle, unless there's you need God. Amen? I mean, something bigger than you. Like Luke 18 there, when Brother Mark was talking about that Sunday, teaching on prayer, talking about the widow that had the adversary. She couldn't handle the adversary. She needed an avenger. She needed one that could get between her and the adversary. She needed one that could get in there and defend her. She needed somebody that would take her case. She needed someone that could take the heat. And so she went to the judge and got him on her side. Amen. And he, in essence, became her shelter and her refuge. So he says, first of all, that God is our refuge or shelter. Number two, we find he goes on to say, and strength. And strength. Well, I like that. The shelter has to do with my position. Strength has to do with my person. Shelter is what's around me. The strength is me. He said he's my strength. That comes to me directly. God is our refuge and strength. So the strength there, here's what the word strength means. Might, power, and force. He is my security and my boldness. Well, that's good definitions, isn't it? God is our refuge and strength. He is my might. He is my power. He is my force. He is my security. He is my boldness. Thank God for that. I like that, don't you? Amen. He is my strength. And then notice this. Of course, there's verse on top of verses. You ever wondered why Paul could do what he could do and be what he was? You ever wonder why? Because he's strengthened. Remember what Philippians 4 says? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You say, oh, preacher, I can't handle what I've got to deal with and what I've got to face and what I've got to do. Oh, not in yourself you can't. Not in the energy of yourself. But oh, thank God he is my strength. When my weakness fails, he is my strength. You say, preacher, I'm awful weak. Well, that's a good sign. Because the Bible says there in 2 Corinthians, I want to make reference to that. When Paul had the thorn in the flesh, listen to this. Well, this passage of Scripture spoke to my heart many times. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, had the thorn in the flesh, and he besought the Lord three times that the Lord would take it away. Listen to what the Bible said. Here's what the Lord's response was. And he said unto me, my grace, verse 9, is sufficient for thee. Now listen at this. My strength is made perfect in weakness. God can use your weaknesses more so than your strength. You can get too strong, but you can't get too weak. Amen. My strength, God said, is made perfect in weakness. And when he told Paul that, guess what Paul said? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now listen to verse 10. Therefore, I will take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. Why? For when I am weak, then am I strong. How that sounds like a paradox. That sounds like a contradiction. How can it be that when I am weak, then am I strong? When I am weak in myself and I say, I can't do it, and then I trust and depend upon the God that is my refuge and strength, then His strength is infused in me. His strength, my friends, is empowered inside of me through His Holy Spirit. Hallelujah to God for that. Amen. So, preacher, I just can't handle it. How many people's got out of church because their valley whipped them, their giant whipped them, their troubles whipped them? You know why? They tried to fight it themselves, tried to figure it out themselves. They tried to do it with the energy of themselves and their strength. And your strength is no match in the spiritual realm. Don't forget it. Your strength at best is physical. And you can't fight a spiritual warfare with physical weaponry. Amen. But oh, thank God, if you'll tap into Him, trust Him, and lean on Him, then His strength becomes your strength. Amen. And then a third thing He said was not only is God is my shelter or my refuge, God is my strength. But also number three, and I want to use a word out of the definition of this next word, where he said a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. And if you look up the word help, you will find out one of the definition is the word, and it's used one time in the New Testament, the English word is, and that is the word succor. It's not the one you call somebody a sucker. No, that's not it. It's not like the fish in the creek, a sucker. We're talking about the spelling of that is S-U-C-C-O-U-R. Where God would say, I will succor them. In fact, it's used in Hebrews chapter number, listen to this right here, in Hebrews chapter number 2. Let me read it to you. It's used right here, the English word is. Hebrews chapter 2, and you can see the meaning of it too, when we read it right here. Chapter 2 and verse number 18 of Hebrews. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He is able to succor them. So we find in this passage that he is my shelter, he is my strength, but he is also the one that is my succor. He is able to, and the word succor there means to assist. He is my aid. He is my helper. Now watch this now. He is my very present help. I was reading and studying on this behind that word trouble, the word trouble, a very present help in trouble. That word trouble has to do with people being in tight places as if in a corner with no place to go and can't get out. Guess what? There'll be times like that in your life. There'll be times like that in your life that you'll feel like that you're in a corner. That you'll feel like you're trapped. That you feel like there's no way out. But don't ever forget it, you have a God. Amen. Who is Elohim, the Creator God. And if He can create everything out of nothing, He can handle your problem. Amen. Sure, amen. That's right. But it talks about that and calling on God and Him making a way when there is no way. Let me give you some definitions here real quick and we'll be done. I want to tune in to that word, very. I like the word very. Now God could have just said a present help. God could have just said, you know, God is our refuge and strength and a present help in trouble. And that still would have blessed us. I'm telling you, that would have still helped me. That would have still done something for me. But the Bible is accurate. The Holy Ghost seemed to want to put some special emphasis right there. He said, a very present help. I like that because the word very means speedily. Amen. It also means holy. W-H-O-L-L-Y. It also means diligently, exceedingly, fast, or good. Oh, he said we have not just a present help, but we have a very present help, a fast, good help in trouble. I like that. Amen. Now I like the word present too. I just be honest with you, that does speak to me. You like that? Because you see, I tell you what makes that so meaningful to me is because present is where I'm at. Not where I was, a very present help. That means what I'm in, he's in. Where I'm at, he's at. Amen. Think about that when you're in your storm. Think about that when you're in trouble. That God, listen, when others may not can get to you, when others may not even know what corner you're in, may not know what you've got your back up against, and may not know what's going on in your life, thank God, God who needs no information about you, He does not need someone to give Him an email, to give Him some detail about your life. He is God. Amen. Amen. I'm about to get excited on Wednesday night. Amen. But a present help. You know what that word present means? He's on hand. Oh, if you ever needed help and there wasn't nowhere to be found. Amen. Wasn't on hand. The word present also means to be able. Wasn't just on, he's on hand, but he's able. It's one thing to have people around to help you. They're present, they're there, they're on hand, but they can't help you. The weight's too heavy. What needs to be done, they don't know how. Or something. Amen. There's always an insufficiency with man. There's always an inferiority with man. But praise God when you realize that God is there on hand and is able. But also the word present means, don't get excited about this. Y'all ready? I don't want y'all to get too happy on Wednesday night. It'd be bad for you. That's just sarcasm. You do understand. Don't take that literal, all right? But it also means, a very present help, Brother Darrell, means to be enough. Oh, yes. I can't help it. That blessed me. I got blessed out of the Strong's definition. Amen. It means when he said a very present help, Brother Preston, he said he's on hand, he's able, and he's enough. I believe we could draw a Bible character out that could give a testimony to that. Who do you think it'd be? Have to be Job. When Job had nothing, lost everything, all of his children had died, my friend, all of his riches had been stolen, my friend, everything was in chaos, and even his wife had turned on him and said, curse God and die. Physical health was going down the tubes. He was covered with boils from head to toe. I want to tell you, sitting in the ash heap with a piece of broken potsherd scraping the boils. I want to tell you, dear friend, here was a man that had nothing but God, but he had enough to make it. He had enough to start over. Job did. And you think about it, everything you've got but God can be taken away. Everything you've got but God can be stolen or can be affected by the economy. Can be affected with tragedy, can be affected with heartache, can be affected with various situations. Now, I'm going to tell you, God is one that said to me, I didn't say to him, God said to me, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be on hand, I'll be able, and I'll be enough. Woo! Glory to God, amen. Hallelujah! Glory! That's not all the definition, Brother Silas. Shall we get blessed some more? Hit it not only the word present means to be on hand, be able, and to be enough. But the word present means to get hold upon. And that's a word, that's a definition, Brother Lane. It means contact. He's not just around. He's not just close. But it means to get hold upon. In other words, I remember Mom and Dad, I don't remember it, but Mom and Daddy told me that back when I was real little, and seemingly that's been most of my life, but when I was real little, I was in the bed with Mom and Daddy one night. I don't know what reason. I looked for reasons to get in the bed with them, amen. And I was in the middle of them, you know, and it was just a small bed. And I think Daddy said to Mama, or Mama said to Daddy, I can't remember the details of it, but said one of them said to the other one, said, you're going to have to scoot over. I'm about to fall out of the bed. And here I am, probably wasn't 20 pounds soaking wet, amen. And I reached that little hand over and got the one that was about to fall out of the bed and said, I got you. I got you. Now, I got hold of them, but I couldn't do much. Amen. Could I use that term, though? How many times would it be that God speak to our spirit and say, I got you. Hey, you may feel, oh Lord help us, you may feel like you're about to fall out. You may feel like you're about to go under. Oh, that's what happened to Peter. Peter said, Lord, he's prayed, Lord, save me. And Jesus stretched forth his hand and what? Caught him, amen. I didn't look that definition up, but I about said it means get hold of, amen. Oh yes, friend, you can't sink when he's got a hold of you. He's got a hold of you, amen. Boy, that's good. He's get a hold upon. Another definition. Doesn't only mean his own hand and to be able and to be enough, get hold upon, but means ready. He's ready. A very present help, that is his own hand, he's able, he's enough, he's gotten hold of us, and he's ready. Hallelujah, amen. Boy, I like this. You know, sometimes you can, I study and you can find out moods and tenses and all that, just like with the English language, you've got present tense and all that, and you got the different moods. And I found out that word present, that we just got blessed by the definition of very present help, is in the perfect mood. And you know what that means? That expresses a completed action. In other words, it's a done deal. Amen. I don't have to talk God into helping me. I don't have to send for Him to help me. I want to tell you, He's already a very present help in trouble. That's a completed action. And He's not going to bail out. Because if He bailed out, that'd be incomplete. Oh, boy, that's good. Very present help in trouble. And the word trouble means, let's look at that just a moment. The word trouble means distress. Means straits, affliction, adversity, tribulation, anguish. None of those words are good. All of that's bad. In fact, there's no good side of trouble. Amen. I mean, all those definitions are negative. Distress, straits, affliction, adversity, tribulation, anguish. Man, that's not good. That's not good at all, is it? Oh, when things are not good, God is always good. Amen. When I look around and trouble's close, I don't want to focus on how close the trouble is. I want to notice too that I have a defender. I have a refuge. See, the refuge and the strength in the first part of the verse is involved in that latter part of the verse. In time of trouble, in that trouble, there He is. There He is. And I like this, and I'll give you this and I'm done. Well, not done, but I'm going to quit. I want you to look right here. Boy, this blessed my heart. Look in of course we've looked at verse 1. He is our shelter and He is our strength and He is our succor. Now listen, you remember what the word definition for help was? He is my assistant. He is my aid. Brother Kevin, He is my helper. Now, did you listen to all three of those just three words in that definition? Assistant, aid, and helper. Listen to it. What does all three of them have in common? God's going to do His part, but I've got to do mine. Well, I want God to do it. He's a very present help. Help. That means He's going to help you. You do your part, so you can't take responsibility out of spirituality. Well, preacher, I wish things would get better. Are you doing better? If you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. If you're going to get what you haven't got, you're going to have to do what you haven't done. Y'all got that, didn't you? If you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to keep getting what you're getting. And if you get what you don't have, then you're going to have to do what you haven't done. I said it twice and it wasn't the same neither time. I'm not going to say it a third time. I'll mess it up. Amen. But in other words, if I am going to have God to be what He said He would be, then I'm going to have to be what I said I would be. But watch this, and I'm going to give you this. Look at the first word of verse 2. Boy, don't that jump off the page. You know what therefore? When you see a therefore, you're supposed to stop and see what it is there for. Therefore, what verse 1 says gives meaning to what is now about to be said. Therefore will not we fear. Oh. In other words, verse 1 ought to give me peace. Peace. Therefore, in the fact that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, therefore we will not fear. You ever seen so much fear? You ever seen so much fear and troubled? People are troubled. Fear on every side. Someone described it this way, fear is faith in Satan. When you fear, you're believing what the storm says. When you're fearing, you're believing what the flesh says and what feeling says and what supposition and imagination says. But no, faith believes what God says. And a lot of times what God says don't look like it's going to coincide with what's happening. Amen. Let me give you this right here. Just simple truth, simple truth. Therefore will not we fear. Now listen to this. Though the earth be removed. That's this little dust ball we're living on and living in. Though it's removed. And though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, we will not fear though these things happen, though those drastic and big things happen. Why? Because we have a dependable God that is not shaken in earthquakes. Amen. What would cause a mountain to be removed will not move God. Amen. What would cause, my friend, an earthquake, and what would cause the rivers and the waters and the, all of that to be troubled will not affect God. But in light of what verse 1 says and the first part of verse 2 says, it should not affect us. Amen. You know, I'm going to say this, not out of example, but I'm saying this, I believe this is true. And I wish I'd lived up to it, but I haven't. When people look at your life, they should not be able to tell whether you're in a valley or on a mountain. There should be the element of a consistent walk with God and a consistency in your life that no matter what's going on in your life, people should not be able to, but most of us, and I did say us, most of us, when things are down, we're down. When things are up, we're up. But verse 1 is not circumstantial. But verse 1 is built on the Creator who changes not. Amen. Well, don't it bless you when people testify and you know the bottom is falling out of their life? I mean, you know. I mean, verse 2 and 3 is talking about when everything is falling apart. Basically, Brother Brooks, if we could just take and put just a good Tennessee summary of what verse 2 and 3 saying is, when things are falling apart, earth being removed, mountains cast in the sea, rivers and water swelling and all that. When things are falling apart, verse 1 is still intact. We have a dependable, we have a faithful God, very present help that will succor us, that will help us, assist us when things are falling apart. When things fall apart, don't fall apart with it. When things fall apart, realize that we have a God that is not falling apart. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I hope that God helped us with Psalms 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. Let's all stand on our feet. Thank you so much for your attention.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.